Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Today, let's talk a little bit about energy. And why not? With the ongoing crisis of the Gulf oil spill, people are taking this moment to think more carefully about our dependence on oil. They're considering new directions in the way that America produces energy and in how we consume it. But before we commit to any wild ideas, let's begin in typical National Academy style, with a few basic facts. Oil is the predominant source of fuel for the transportation sector, which accounts for more than 28% of annual U.S. energy consumption. Cars and light trucks, most of which are used for personal transportation, represent about 17% of that total, and that share has been rising. Additionally, concern about climate change continues to grow, both domestically and internationally, and transportation is an increasing contributor to that problem. Gasoline consumption, largely from personal vehicles, accounts for about 20% of annual U.S. CO2 emissions. So in light of all this, individuals are understandably getting more interested in strategies that we could adopt to reduce our use of gasoline. Now, most people are somewhat familiar with approaches that concentrate on coming up with alternative fuel sources or more fuel-efficient vehicles. But one idea that seems to get less attention is to alter the way we design and develop our cities, or what experts call the built environment. It makes logical sense that more compact development patterns with higher densities and mixed land uses would reduce the amount of driving that people do, since they'd be living closer to where they work and do their shopping. So the fewer vehicle miles traveled, the less burning of gasoline, and the less carbon dioxide emitted. But exactly how much less driving and how much less carbon emissions can we expect to see from more mixed-use, compact development? In part, answering that question was the goal of a study released last year called Driving and the Built Environment.
New housing development in the United States is relatively low density. The average for a unit is 1 acre per dwelling unit. And it's often not contiguous. We leapfrog development over vacant parcels in the suburbs, and it's usually far away from retail, office, and other commercial activities.
That's Dr. Jose Ibanez Gomez, a professor of urban planning and public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government and chair of the National Academy's Report Committee.
And so the idea is to have more compact development and more mixed use, so single family on small lots, perhaps 8 to 1 acre, or townhouses, development that's contiguous rather than leapfrogging, with shopping nearby, perhaps even within walking distance.
So not only would people be driving shorter distances to work and shopping centers, but if the density of development is above a certain threshold, you also begin to see increased numbers of people walking, biking, or using public transportation instead of driving. But in addition to these cuts, the committee also found that more compact development also leads to a couple of indirect reductions in energy use.
Well, there are two ways that we had in mind. The first is if you're driving less, you may not feel the need to drive a large vehicle. You might shift to smaller vehicles. And the second, if development is more compact, then there's more likely to be party walls and the like, as in townhouses, which means that heating and cooling the buildings would require less energy.
So we know that more compact development can reduce energy use and CO2 emissions in a variety of ways. But just how much can we expect from high-density development, and how soon? Given the fact that most climate policies currently under consideration include a target for reducing CO2 emissions by a certain amount by the year 2050, the committee also used computer models to create projections of how different levels of growth in compact development might contribute to society's ability to meet these goals.
The committee examined two scenarios, one of which assumed that 25% of new development would be double density, and that new development would have 12% less driving per household, And another more optimistic scenario that 75% of new development would be double density and that those households would drive 25% less. With the more optimistic scenario, we found an 8 to 11% reduction in vehicle miles traveled and in carbon emissions from motor vehicles by 2050. With the less optimistic scenario, we got only a 1 to 2% reduction in vehicle miles traveled and carbon emissions of household motor vehicles by 2050. The second scenario obviously is a very big change from our current housing patterns and policies, and some committee members thought that it was unlikely to be achieved.
The disagreement within the committee over the feasibility of reaching the optimistic scenario stemmed from several issues. Promoting higher density, mixed-use development on a large scale requires overcoming specific obstacles.
There's several factors that are going to affect how much of a reduction in vehicle miles traveled we get from more compact development. One of them is how slowly we grow. What you have to realize is that these policies are only going to affect new development, and we only add 1 to 2% to the housing stock every year, so it takes a while for any effect of new policies to become apparent. The second is the traditional reluctance of local governments to allow or require higher density. For a variety of reasons, local governments generally don't encourage that kind of high density. And state legislatures are very deferential to local governments and don't like to impose those kinds of requirements on them. And a third potential issue is what housing preferences are. How strong is the demand on the part of American households for more compact housing?
Despite the obstacles and the fact that more compact mixed use will have a relatively modest impact on energy use and CO2 emissions, there are other benefits of higher density development that were not quantified in the Academy's study. For example, compact development should reduce some infrastructure costs, increase the feasibility and cost effectiveness of public transit, and expand housing choices where compact developments are undersupplied. Other benefits include lower conversion of agricultural and other environmentally fragile areas, and as we noted earlier, greater opportunities for physical activity by facilitating the use of non-motorized modes of travel. But there are also some costs that were not included in the Academy's study. For instance, some argue that the savings in highway infrastructure costs will be offset by increased expenditures for public transport to support high-density development. Moreover, many Americans appear to prefer detached, single-family homes in low-density suburbs that are often associated with more privacy, greater access to open space and recreation, and less noise than in urban neighborhoods. But of course, it's always possible that housing preferences may change in the future with shifts in demographic and socioeconomic characteristics of the population. In light of this lack of data on the full costs and benefits associated with mixed-use development, the committee decided to recommend more carefully designed studies on the matter so that compact development can be implemented more effectively, regardless of the fact that the committee's own scenarios suggest only modest reductions in energy use and carbon emissions. The committee nevertheless recommended that policies to support more compact mixed-use development should be encouraged right away. This is mainly because climate change is a problem that's better dealt with sooner rather than later, and because energy-efficient patterns are likely to be part of the strategy if the nation sets ambitious goals for climate and energy policy. Taken together, tackling climate change and updating the energy system of the United States is a daunting long-term challenge. Because of the durability of the current built environment and the fact that most compact mixed-use development will likely come from new development rather than from transforming the existing built environment, it's all the more important that we begin looking at this field more closely. If we carefully monitor the results and improve our understanding of the benefits and the costs, we may yet muddle through to a brighter, more compact tomorrow. If you're interested in reading the Academy's report on driving in the built environment, head over to our website where the full text is up online. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.